Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, November 17th. What a brutal Thursday night football contest. Of course, Mark Andrews now out for the season. We'll have to talk about Isaiah Likely on Tuesday's show. He didn't do anything in that game, though, so I don't think there's a huge priority for Isaiah Likely. And we also have to talk about Joe Burrow, who has an injured wrist. And we don't know if that was a pre-existing condition or not, but regardless, that's for next week. For now, let's preview the remaining games on this week's slate. And we shall start with another AFC North showdown, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns. Projections actually have this Cleveland 18.3 to 16.7, a lackluster game across the board, really based on the quarterbacks, Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Kenny Pickett. Puts a major damper on the passing game here. Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, wide receiver three plays, but that's it. I actually think you could use DTR maybe if you're in a pinch in Superflex, because there are four teams on bye this week. The one other thing I wanted to point out here, the whole idea of Jaylen Warren being a starter. Remember, starter just means you're on the field for the first play of the game. It doesn't mean you're going to get significant work, three down workload, anything like that. And to be quite honest, I don't think anything changes here. So the role doesn't change for Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris. They're both flex options. This is a tough matchup against a very good Browns run defense. Chicago and Detroit up next. Detroit 28.2 to 19.0 in projections. The return of Justin Fields. Now, I know it's easy to want to jam him back into starting lineups, especially in one quarterback league. Superflex, yes, but one quarterback, I'm a little reluctant to do so. He has been very up and down this season. It started down. It was briefly up before the injury. He had those back-to-back strong performances, but he's still very risky. I only have him at quarterback 15. Looks like Khalil Herbert should be back. I have not seen him activated off of injured reserve yet, but I still do prefer Deontay Foreman only as a flex option. It's a really tough matchup, but I prefer him this week over Khalil Herbert. RB 30 for him, 41 for Herbert. On the other side, we're starting Jared Goff as a top 12 option. Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta locked in. And really, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery as well. I have Gibbs as the better fantasy play, but Montgomery is still a top 15 option this week. We'll see if the touch ratio changes at all for these guys, but Jahmyr Gibbs' ceiling is just so enormous. Chargers, Green Bay, Packers. I have the Chargers 24.1 to 20.6. On the Chargers side, Justin Herbert has been very good. And coming off of one of his top performances of the season, 300-yard performance, four passing touchdowns. We know what his ceiling is. He hasn't quite hit it very frequently this season, but that, you know, there are some games where, hey, if the run game's working, the pass game doesn't really need to do that much. Even though this isn't the best matchup, like Green Bay's pretty decent against the pass. In fact, they're the fourth worst fantasy matchup for quarterbacks. Still going to use him as a top 12 play, especially when you have Keenan Allen out there, and he should be good to go. No ill effects from that injury last week. Now, Jordan Love is kind of the opposite. He did have some high-ceiling plays early in the season, but he hasn't been a top-10 weekly play since week three. It's a great matchup. 315.7 net passing yards per game allowed by the Chargers, but I can't use him as anything more than a super flex option. And really, the only player that I'm using with any confidence is Aaron Jones. Flex options for Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Luke Musgrave is a streamer option. Not the best spot here for the Packers offense. Vegas and Miami. I have Miami 28.8 to 17.2. And man, I am excited to get Miami Dolphins back from bye. They are good against bad teams. Not that, I mean, the Raiders are a 5-win team right now, but obviously, you know, they moved on from their head coach for a reason. I think the new regime is doing a nice job, especially giving Josh Jacobs the ball. 26 carries in week 9, 27 last week. He is rolling. He is a top 5 option. On the season, he has 48.5% of the Raiders' touches. That's just silly. Devontae Adams did move down. I still have him in wide receiver 2 territory, like I said on Wednesday. Just puts a major damper on his outlook, the quarterback situation. It's not really him so much as it's the quarterback play. And it's not just Aiden O'Connell. It's been the quarterback play the entire season. As far as the other side, is Achane going to play? As of this point, I don't know. He's been limited in back-to-back practices. Mike McDaniel didn't really tell us much of anything. The initial timetable did say week 11, but we can't guarantee that he's going to be back for this one. If he's back, he's top 10. if he isn't back, Raheem Mostert's pretty much top 10 because this is a fantastic matchup against the Raiders this week. Giants, Washington, 22.9 to 12.9. I bet you can't guess who has the 22. Oh, man, there's not much doing on the Giants side. Like, I'm still going to use Saquon, but he's only a mid-range RB2. Otherwise, this is all about the other side. Sam Howell is one of the biggest surprises of the year. Enters the week QB4 in fantasy, 2,783 passing yards. Could Sam Howell have a 5,000-yard season? Like, that's well within the realm of possibility right now. Anyway, top 10 option this week, McLaurin rolling. Jahan Dotson right on the edge of wide receiver 3 territory. Keep an eye on Antonio Gibson's practice status. I do not have a practice report for today. I'm recording before they came out, but he missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And if he doesn't go, Brian Robinson will be a top 12 play. And he'll be an amazing play in DFS too, by the way. Dallas and Carolina, Dallas 26.3 to 15.8. Dak Prescott is rolling. If you were able to weather the storm after that sluggish start, congratulations, because he has been phenomenal over the last month. In each of those four games, he has top five weekly finishes, including two first place finishes. This isn't a great matchup for him. Carolina's much better against the pass than they are against the run, but come on. We're not going away from this anytime soon with Dak Prescott. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb rolling as well. Jake Ferguson's a top 10 option, like I mentioned on Wednesday. Now, let's be careful with the Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle thing, because yes, to a fantasy manager, maybe Rico Dowdle looked better last week, but your opinion, my opinion, they don't matter. What matters, the head coach's opinion. And he said they're not changing anything, Mike McCarthy. So Tony Pollard will get the lead back work this week. And this is a classic, if it doesn't happen this week, it's never going to happen type matchup. Fantastic matchup against the Panthers. They are allowing the second most fantasy points per game to running backs. So Pollard is a top five play, reluctantly, begrudgingly, but if he doesn't get it done this week, then yeah, he ain't going to get it done this season. On the other side, there's really only two usable options, Adam Thielen, who's a fringe wide receiver too. Chuba Hubbard, who is in a brutal matchup, is a not a desperation flex play, but let's call him a back end flex play. Like I don't think you have to be completely desperate, though it's not a good spot. Tennessee, Jacksonville, Tennessee 23.1 to 17.2. Will Levis has come back to earth over the last 2 weeks, pressured 42 times over that span. Only Zach Wilson has been pressured more over the last two games. And that pressure, it has resulted in 4 sacks. He's thrown an interception in each of the last 2 games. I think he's more back-end QB2 territory as a super flex option than he is, you know, possibly on the one quarterback radar. Derrick Henry also coming back to the pack, 69.4 rushing yards per game this season. Over the last 5 years before this year, it was 100 rushing yards per game. So he's more of an RB2. DeAndre Hopkins more of a wide receiver 3. It's just tough to find value with the Tennessee Titans. It isn't tough to find value with Travis Etienne. He has 189 touches on the season. That's third most in the NFL. He doesn't have the best matchup, but the volume trumps the matchup as far as I'm concerned. I don't blame you if you aren't starting Trevor Lawrence. I don't blame you if you're considering dropping Trevor Lawrence. I don't like to roster 2 quarterbacks in 1 quarterback leagues. He is at QB 16. Now, if I drop him, I know I'm getting myself into streamer territory, unless for some crazy reason there is a viable every week starter out there. But you're just not going to find Sam Howell, CJ Stroud at this point. So I know I'm just going into streamer territory, and so be it. If that's the case. Also, I am going to make a note to myself to avoid those middle round quarterbacks in drafts next year, but I get it. Christian Kirk is fine. Calvin Ridley is not fine. 2 top 25 finishes, weekly finishes on the season. He is 43rd among fantasy wide receivers in scoring. And he's boom or bust. His ceiling is very high. He showed it twice this season, but the floor is extremely low with him. Be aware, if you're starting him, that's what you're signing up for. Arizona, Houston. Houston, 26.9 to 22.0. Kyler Murray looked pretty darn good last week, and I have him as a top 10 option. It's the mobility in particular. He didn't even do that much in the passing game. Like, obviously, he was fine with Trey McBride, who is a top 5 option. But we didn't see, you know, like the Marquise Brown ceiling, for example, which I would expect to improve this week. So using Kyler with confidence should also have a fairly favorable game script. I do actually expect Houston to get out to a lead in this one. James Conner, RB17. I was really encouraged. Even though the fantasy numbers didn't look good, I watched the game back and he looked rock solid in that game. So he's back in RB2 territory. Okay, we're using CJ Stroud, duh. We're using Tank Dell, duh. And Tank Dell might even be a fringe wide receiver one this week if Noah Brown can't play. Missed practices on Wednesday and Thursday, so keep an eye on his Friday status. If he doesn't go, Dell moves up to fringe wide receiver one, Nico Collins into the top 24. If Brown can play, that is, I'd use all three of them. Tank Dell is a wide receiver two. Both Collins and Brown is wide receiver threes. Does not look like Damian Pierce is going to play, so Devin Singletary will be top 15 when all is said and done here in a very favorable matchup against Arizona. Tampa, San Francisco. San Francisco 25.1 to 15.7. What I love about Rashad White, even in a bad matchup, is the game script should be favorable for him in the passing game. He has 326 receiving yards, second in the league among running backs behind only Christian McCaffrey. So it keeps him in RB2 territory. Mike Evans, top 15 this week. Fountain of youth for Mike Evans. He scored in 6 of 9 games. Still using Chris Godwin as a wide receiver three. On the other side, yeah, McCaffrey, duh. Ayuk, duh. Kittle, Debo. Let's talk about Brock Purdy, though, quickly. The matchup is very good. We saw what CJ Stroud was able to do in this matchup. But I'm still viewing Purdy as more of a streamer. I don't view him as an every week starter. He's at quarterback 14. There's a little bit of a cap on what he can do, you know, just because he himself does not possess the highest ceiling. And then also, this is a team that is going to run the football. Christian McCaffrey is going to eat up a bunch of those touchdowns. So more of a streamer option, not a guy who I would just set and forget. Moving on to the Jets and Bills, Buffalo 24.0 to 17.1. On the Jets side, it's Breece and Garrett Wilson, maybe Tyler Conklin if you're desperate for a streamer. But let's talk about the other side. So Ken Dorsey is out. Joe Brady is in. How much does this change things? I don't think it changes much. And I really don't think the Josh Allen interceptions were Ken Dorsey's fault. I think he's just got some of that Brett Favre in him, and interceptions are going to come. But you're also going to get crazy big plays at the same time. And for us, for fantasy purposes, the interceptions aren't that big of a knock. You are probably only losing a point or two for each interception. I really don't hate that. Stephon Diggs, last week wasn't good, but that was his only down game of the season. So whatever, give him a pass. Dalton Kincaid, top 5. How about this? Leonard Fournette. He's still in the practice squad. Nothing has changed there. If you picked him up, I don't think he's worth a roster spot. I don't think it's changing anytime soon, especially with how Latavius Murray played last week. Seattle and the Rams, Seattle 23.4 to 20.6. Always love this matchup. We saw it back in week one. A lot has changed since then. Geno Smith didn't look particularly good in that contest, but he's coming off of a career-high 369. Nice passing yards right there. He's in a mid-range quarterback two conversation. Not using him in one quarterback leagues, but very usable in super flex. And part of it has been helped by the play of Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm not using him in season long, but listen to this. Over his first four games in the NFL, 12 catches, 62 yards, no scores. That's not good. In 5 games since then, 21 catches, 263 yards, 2 scores. Now, it's not amazing, but it's a lot better, and it has helped Geno Smith out. But we're using the usual suspects here. Kenneth Walker, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. On the other side, Matthew Stafford being back is very good for Cooper Kupp. In their 29 career games together, Cooper Kupp averages 105.9 receiving yards per game, which is the highest since 1991 of any duo with a minimum of 25 games together. So pretty good there. Puka Nacua benefits as well. And this will be the last week of this timeshare of Daryl Henderson and Royce Freeman. Kyren Williams eligible to return next week. Minnesota, Denver, 22.6 to 20.0. Denver with the favorite spot here. Both of these teams are surprising. Minnesota, 5 wins in a row. Denver, 2 massive wins in a row over juggernaut teams. This one's going to be a very fun game. Only a few weeks ago, this looked like it was going to be a dud. I think it's going to be very entertaining. Will Jefferson be back? Hell if I know. I have no clue. Same thing as Devon Achane. Limited in practice both days this week. Kevin O'Connell didn't exactly give us the clearest answer. Jefferson said he wouldn't return unless he's 100%. So if we don't see him go full, like technically he doesn't even have to be activated until tomorrow, But if we don't see him go full today, I would not have my optimism high there for Jefferson. Jordan Addison would move up into the top 25 if Jefferson can't go. Obviously, loving TJ Hockenson. Oh, Alexander Mattison got to limited yesterday. That's a bad sign for Ty Chandler's outlook. I would not get too crazy there. I'd be prepared for Mattison to clear concussion protocol. If he's back, that is a timeshare between the two of them. It's a great matchup, but Mattison would be the better option only as a flex play. On the other side, Russ is playing great football. Compared to last year, it's night and day, and that's really helped Cortland Sutton out. Both Sutton and Judy are wide receiver three plays. Javonte Williams is back, baby, and finally in RB1 territory. 55 touches over the last 2 weeks. Not an amazing matchup, but man, I'm still loving what we're getting from a volume standpoint. All right, Philly, Kansas City. Kansas City 25.6 to 22.0. Super Bowl rematch here. Start them if you got them. Mahomes, Kelce, Pacheco, Hurts, A.J. Brown, DeAndre Swift, Devontae Smith, all of them. Even Rashi Rice can be a flex option. Two things to point out. Mahomes has struggled when throwing the ball 10-plus air yards this season. He only has two passing scores on throws of 10-plus air yards, seven interceptions on those throws. But this is a great matchup. The Eagles are the number three matchup for fantasy quarterbacks, so I'm not really worried here. On the other side, no Dallas Goedert. We don't know when he'll return, but it was an initial 4 to 6 week timetable. If we hit the far end of that timetable, he won't be back until like the second round of the fantasy playoffs. Your season could be over by then. So if you had to, you need a bench spot and you had to move on from him, I don't think it's terrible. Now, I'm not telling you to drop this dude, but you know, you got to manage your roster as you see fit, but it wouldn't be outlandish if you did so. I don't think it would be that crazy. His absence does help solidify things for Devontae Smith. I'm viewing him more as a more consistent wide receiver two. Obviously, we know he has a wide receiver one ceiling in any given week, but this should help you out if you've been struggling with those inconsistencies there. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me today. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for the biggest takeaways from Week 11 fantasy football. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.